You've tuned in to Naturopathic Earth Radio with certified health consultant and former obese child, A. Gregory Luna, where you get the latest on clean living, natural remedies, effective weight loss tips, and sound naturopathic principles from experts and biohackers from around the world and Gregory himself. Don't be a slave to Big Pharma. Break free of the shackles of Big Food and start your journey now to a long, vibrant, purposeful life. Become a citizen of Naturopathic Earth.
Hello, everybody. This is A. Gregory Luna. Of course, you can call me Gregory. Welcome back to another episode of Naturopathic Earth Radio. I hope you're doing well. I'm recording this episode at 6:30 in the morning, so I notice my voice has a lower timbre in the morning, which I kind of like. It's kind of nice. I'll keep it low, like this, low. You know, there's a lot of studies showing that on your first dates, that men, I think we know that women are attracted to men with low voices and men are attracted to women with high voices. I mean, I like, you know, like a 6-year-old girl's voice, but you know, a girl, a feminine voice. And the reason is because your voice is a social cue about testosterone. So I always used to joke with the students when we covered it in sex ed, how, you know, on your first day, you should have a career low voice and be like, hello, how you doing? How you doing? Even if you didn't have a high voice, and say for the girls, because there are some girls who kind of have raspy voices. If you think of someone like Emma Stone, maybe she kind of has a raspy voice. Either way, we're not here to talk about the voice and the amount of testosterone and estrogen you have that's correlated to that. But we are here to talk about estrogen in the form of xenoestrogens, in the form of fake estrogens that are released by deodorants. So before we begin, my website, Kate's website, it's www.naturopathicearth.com. Go check out our articles. We publish something daily over there. It's just a ma-pa website because I'm a Paul. And if you need a health coach, hire me. I'm a certified health coach. My orientation is toward paleo, though I do not practice it per se because I like the bread. But not all breads. I'm not big like sliced bread. I don't eat sliced bread, but I like Middle Eastern naan. You guys know this. I don't want to sound repetitive. So let's talk about parabens and aluminum and breast cancer. This is an issue I've been wanting to discuss for some time. I have been using paraben and aluminum free deodorant for some time, probably about 10 years maybe. And the reason this is because I don't like heavy metal toxins in my body. And I don't think any of us do. I mean, we don't want lead in our body, right? So they took it out of the water and gasoline. We don't like mercury. You know, we don't like barium, at least aerosolized barium. So we don't like aluminum, but there's aluminum in most of our deodorants. So let's get to it. Let's talk about whether or not aluminum in particular in our deodorant is leading or increasing a woman's chances of getting breast cancer, because breast cancer has proliferated. And one of the studies I saw was about 70% of new cases of breast cancer are not related to family, not a history of breast cancer in the family. This is one of the biggest misconceptions about breast cancer is, my mother had it, so I'm going to get it, so I might as well get a total mastectomy. No, most of the cases are new cases. So if they're all new cases, what is going on? And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of do like a two-part episode on the breasts. So today we're going to talk about aluminum and a little about parabens. And then the next episode, we're going to talk about bras, the connection, possible connection between bras and breast cancer. So let's get to the aluminum. Right, so I kind of use the same sound effect song, so I'm trying to mix it up a little. You let me know if you like them. I kind of like the slower bassy one. That one's a little more calypso. Yeah, man, it's calypso like that from Jamaica, man. I'm a Rasta, man. Yeah, I love giving kids a hard time at my school who walk around in Bob Marley t-shirts. And so I go up to them and I'm like, yeah, you like Bob Marley? They're like, yeah. Like, hey, what's your favorite Bob Marley song? Because if you guys don't know this, and you might not know if you don't have kids in high school, especially public high schools, is that Bob Marley shirts is kind of a sign to other people that they smoke dope. All right, because you think of Bob Marley, you think of marijuana, you think of Rastas and all that. And so it's kind of like a code, right? Because we don't allow like the colors, like the Bloods, the Crips, those gang colors, but we have no problem allowing people to walk around with Bob Marley. So, the kids are clever. They know what they're doing. All right, so today I'm going to be beginning off an article from Mercola. October is Breast Cancer Awareness Month, and it is an ideal time to learn about all the steps you can take to prevent the most common breast cancer affecting women in the developed world. Yeah, I think everybody knows it's Susan G. Komen Month. It's like free publicity because like Susan G. Komen, of course, is the only breast cancer awareness organization in the entire world. Now, if you've not heard me on my previous podcast, I am not a big fan of Susan G. Komen, and this is one of the reasons. The other reason is that they don't want to talk about or even discuss the possible link between abortion and breast cancer. And they certainly don't want to talk about any of the links about the household toxins and breast cancer and even the mammogram debate and breast cancer. They are a bought-off organization. Also, the other problem I have is that these nonprofits, all of them, are not using the money that you donate to them for their intended research. So it's a kind of a little bait and switch. They'll be like, oh, yeah, they give maybe 5% of the money to actual research, and the rest of it is pocket. It's either put into advertising or it's just put into the CEO or middle executive management's pockets and increased salaries. So just be very wary of all of these groups. But Susan G. Komen, even the NFL, they make the athletes wear those pink everything. It's just very frustrating. That's just my personal opinion. The information that follows will be much different from what is often sprouted from anti-cancer organizations like Susan G. Komen and the American Cancer Society. My advice for cancer prevention is much more straightforward, involving simple lifestyle strategies that virtually everyone has the power to make. And we've talked about changing your diet, for example, getting off the high sugar diet, which fuels tumor growth, and getting to a ketogenic diet, which stifles tumor growth. So if you know anybody who is in remission from cancer, or in general, maybe doesn't want to get it because 1 in 2 men and 1 in 3 women will get it in their lifetime, one of the things is you want to switch the diet, go more fat, more whole foods. Using the wrong antiperspirant may increase your chances of breast cancer. Putting on antiperspirants is a routine part of most people's days, and you may not think about it, but here's what you should think about. If you're using one containing aluminum, you could be increasing your risk of breast cancer. Antiperspirants work by clogging, closing, and blocking the pores that release sweat under your arms, with the active ingredient being aluminum. Not only does this block one of your body's routes for detoxification, but it raises concerns about where these metals are going once you roll them on or spray them on. I was never a big fan of antiperspirants. When I was a kid, and I feel bad because my six-year-old son's this way. He's a sweater, and I was a sweater too. I would sweat for everything. Now, it was partly because I was morbidly overweight, and he's stocky. But, I mean, everything. And so I would sweat for everything. So my mom would buy antiperspirants, and even then, when I was like 10, I was like, so this isn't allow me to sweat? Now, first of all, I still sweated. I still sweated in my brown everywhere else, and I still think I sweat in the armpits. I mean, I honestly don't know how effective these. I mean, how can you literally stop someone from sweating? Well, it's because you're clogging, right? I guess that's how it works. Research, including one study published this year in the Journal of Applied Toxicology, has shown that the aluminum is not only absorbed in your body, but it's deposited in your breast tissue and can even be found in nipple aspirate fluid, a fluid present in the breast duct tree that mirrors the microenvironment in your breast. Researchers determined that the mean level of aluminum in nipple aspirate fluid was significantly higher in breast cancer-affected women compared to healthy women, which may suggest a role for raised levels of aluminum as a biomarker for identification of women at higher risk of developing breast cancer. And the studies I've actually heard is that the most common place where you get the ductal carcinomas or the lobes in your breasts is in the superolateral aspect, which is in medical terminology. It means your top right side of your breast or top left side. It's going to be the closest side to your side, your lateral side. Which, if you look at your top left of your left breast, top right of your right breast is closest to your axilla, your armpit. In a 2007 study published in the Journal of Inorganic Biochemistry, researchers tested breast samples from 17 breast cancer patients who had undergone mastectomies. The women who use antiperspirants had deposits of aluminum in their outer breast tissue. Concentrations of aluminum were higher in the tissue closest to the underarm than in the central breast. Look at that. Why is this a glaring red flag? Well, here's the deal, guys. Aluminum is not normally found in the human body. It is a heavy metal toxin. So this study was pretty clear sign that the metal was being absorbed from antiperspirant sprays and roll-ons. Please note that aluminum is typically only found in antiperspirants. If you're using a deodorant-only product, it is unlikely to contain aluminum, but might contain other chemicals that could be of a concern, similar to like parabens. Aluminum salts can account for 25% of the volume of some antiperspirants, and a review of the common sources of aluminum exposure for humans found that antiperspirant use can significantly increase the amount of aluminum absorbed by your body, which makes sense. According to the review, after a single underarm swipe application of antiperspirant, about 0.012% of the aluminum may be absorbed. 0.012, what math is that? 1,200s? 1,200? 12,000s? 0.01, oh man, thank God Kate's not here. This may not sound like much until you multiply one or more times a day for a lifetime, which adds up to a massive exposure to aluminum, a poison that is not supposed to be in your body and may be more toxic than mercury. Aluminum salts can mimic the hormone estrogen, and the chemicals that imitate that hormone are known to increase breast cancer risks. Animal studies have also found that aluminum can cause cancer. Aside from vaccinations, your antiperspirant may be your largest exposure to that poisonous metal. Yeah, because we're not really getting aluminum from anywhere else. I mean, the aluminum that you find in cans and Coke cans, we're absorbing the bisphenol A, because BPA is sprayed in all aluminum cans and all canned goods in general, but we're not absorbing aluminum in this kind of matter, only the deodorants. And so the argument here is, well, it's only 0.012% of aluminum may be absorbed, but this is the same argument that we use for fluoride in the water, the 0.1 parts per million. When it comes to chlorine in the pools, when it comes to parabens that we're exposed to in deodorant, the argument is always, well, it's such an insignificant amount. But again, it's cell phone radiation, EMF radiation, it's the same thing. But what are the longitudinal studies? You're right. If I'm walking through the cosmetic store at Dillard's and I'm walking around with no shirt and some woman comes and swipes aluminum on my axilla, you know, it's not like that's really going to increase my chances of breast cancer because it was one time. But again, how often have we been rolling deodorant? Every day, maybe starting at the age of 12, and you might be 40, 30, 40 years. This accumulates, and all these things accumulate. And there's no longitudinal studies, and that's the frustrating part. And this is why if we go to the American Cancer Society or Cindy Jacoma, they'll be like, oh, the aluminum paraben risk is not substantiated because you're absorbing not enough parabens and not enough aluminum for it to cause a difference. I beg to differ, and I'm honestly, of course, think that they're bought off, and that's why they want you to think that. There are many brands of aluminum-free deodorants on the market, and many of these are safe alternatives. And as a general rule, deodorants tend to be less problematic than antiperspirants, as they work by neutralizing the smell of your sweat and by antiseptic action against bacteria rather than preventing sweat. So that's good to know, right? Deodorants are a little better than antiperspirants. As such, some deodorants do not even contain aluminum. But you got to look on the back of the ingredients, guys. So look on the back, and you're going to be looking for anything with essentially the word aluminum. Okay, so aluminum chlorohydrate, aluminum chloride, aluminum hydroxybromide, or aluminum zirconium. These are the most common ones. So just aluminum everything. We'll have it. Crystal deodorant stones, which are a popular natural deodorant alternative, also often used by health-conscious shoppers, looks to avoid aluminum, often claimed to be aluminum-free. But some actually contain a different type of compound known as an alum, the most common form being potassium alum, also known as potassium aluminum sulfate. So that's a little code word. I don't know. If I saw alum on the back of a deodorant can, I would probably think that's aluminum. But potassium alum or ammonium alum are natural mineral salts made up of molecules that are too large to be absorbed by your skin. They form a protective layer on your skin that inhibits the growth of odor-causing bacteria. These deodorants are recommended by many cancer treatment centers, but while this may be a better alternative to most antiperspirants and deodorants on the market, it is not completely aluminum-free. So be sure when choosing a natural deodorant alternative that is truly made of toxin-free ingredients, aluminum is just one of them. And there are a lot of other ones in there. So what I would say is this. Let's take a break. So finding an aluminum-free deodorant is not a problem nowadays, guys. They're almost as easy to find than fluoride-free toothpaste, and that's one of the blessings. So Tom's of Maine, for example, has an a fluoride-free toothpaste. They also have natural deodorants. If you go to, of course, Whole Paychecks and those types of greeny, granola-crunching type supermarkets, of course they're going to have it, but you just go on Amazon. You can go to Amazon. I'll put a link on this page, and if you go to Amazon through my link, I'll get a whopping 5 cents. But if you want to do it that way, if that's much easier, then that's fine. But even most large grocery stores have aluminum-free products, and they're normally, of course, branded as organic or something like that, but just look on the back. So it's pretty easy to avoid deodorants. The other thing is, why don't you just make your own deodorant? It is not hard. I mean, there's several ingredients recipes online, like go to YouTube, for example, but anywhere. So they're essentially, most of these homemade ones are going to be coconut oil, baking soda, and then a drop of some essential oil to make it smell good. I tell the students all the time, I go, why are we wearing deodorant at all? Like, for example, and this is not TMI, but it gets a little TMI. I don't wear deodorant most of the winter because I'm not sweating. So why do I need to wear deodorant? Now, I'm bald, right? So I don't shampoo. Why should I shampoo if I don't have any hair? It's a little different because I have hair in the axilla. But my point is, like, you know, we got to unlearn what we've learned. It's like, just because the product is out there doesn't mean we necessarily have to use it. Now, I'm not saying that I don't use shaving cream to shave my head, to shave my face or my head, because that would hurt quite a bit. So I use shaving cream. But with deodorant, there's really not necessarily a need for it, guys. And then my students will always retort, Mr. Luna, you're not walking in the hallway and you smell everybody's body odor. And that's true. I mean, I do walk in the hallway and it is congregated and you can smell people. So I get why teenagers are not going to forsake the deodorant, because, you know, they're worried, and they're much more worried about image and self-conscious stuff. And so I get it. But personally, me, I don't care. I don't wear deodorant. In the summer, I will buy the deodorant that's aluminum-free and use that. So just something to think about. Last thing, I do want to mention parabens. I don't have a standalone episode yet on parabens, but I've mentioned them in all these xenoestrogen episodes that deal with fake estrogen being released in the form of phthalates and plastics and whatnot. So parabens are most commonly found in cosmetics and in deodorants and in lotions. And the reason that they're in there, they're preservatives. They're preservatives to prevent your makeup and your lotions from deteriorating and becoming rancid and stinky. We really don't think about makeup and household cosmetics needing things to prevent it from getting sneaky, but that in itself is kind of scary. But they're in there. And so what happens with the parabens is that they break down into a form of fake estrogen called xenoestrogen. Xeno means foreign. And then that xenoestrogen, as we've talked about in these multiple episodes, and if you haven't heard them, go back to the episode that covers on phthalates, the unknown toxins in our house, and go back to the one on the two-parter on plastics or the articles. And it throws off the feedback loop of estrogen that both men and women have. We don't want to receive artificial estrogen because that can throw it off, and then it leads to having endocrine or hormone problems. So the best thing, if you can afford it, of course, is to buy paraben-free lotions. And you can. There, Kiss My Face is a product. Tom's of Maine. There's a lot of products that you can find that are paraben-free. So the studies, the official studies between parabens and cancer or hormone disruption is a little more controversial than, let's say, some of the other ones like plastics, but it's just something to avoid if you can't avoid it because it's not hard. Now, buying paraben-free makeup probably is a little more difficult because you have to go out of your way to buy it. And if you go to Dillard's again, when that lady's rolling deodorant in your armpit without your consent when you walk around shirtless, most of those are not going to be deodorant or paraben free. They're not going to be paraben free. So you're going to have to really go out of your way to find paraben free that way. But again, that's another thing to think about. All right, guys, so we're going to finish up this podcast. I wanted to do kind of a quickie because the last two or three were about 30 minutes long, and I'd like to do some 10-minute, 15-minute quickies. Though I haven't checked the time. This could already be at 20 minutes, but I don't think it is. Deodorants. or antiperspirants. Largely a sham made by big cosmetic to make us buy products for the rest of our life. We're like customers forever. My takeaway is this. We don't need them. We don't need them. But if you're going to use them, definitely don't use the aluminum-based ones, because if there's any chance that it does increase your chances of getting breast cancer, then there's really no reason to use it. So throw away the Old Spice, throw away the, I don't even know what the girl common ones are. I do remember all those Axe sprays that are targeted toward teenagers. You know, they have these commercials for Axe where it's like a nerdy guy and he sprays on Axe and all these good-looking women are thrown to him. And of course, you know, classic advertising. Like I tell the students, classic advertising is to make you feel insecure about something, and then only that their product will make you feel happy and content. And so that, you know, those commercials are perfect for teenagers, right? Because I don't have any girls, but if I spray this deodorant, I'm going to have a lot of beautiful women. So of course they're going to gravitate toward that. But my takeaway is don't buy aluminum-based deodorant. Look at the ingredients, find natural deodorants, or make your own. Okay, guys, last thing, of course, please, 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 please post a review for Naturopathic Earth Radio, Confessions of an Obese Child, or Kate's Apothecary. It would take you literally 2 seconds. It would mean a lot to us. We would appreciate it quite a bit. Until next time, guys, take care. God bless. Bye-bye.
Earth Radio. Visit us at www.naturopathicearth.com. Follow us on Twitter at Naturopath Earth and subscribe to us on iTunes. Don't forget to leave a review. And remember our core belief at naturopathicearth.com. Let food be thy medicine, let nature be thy healer. See you next time. Music courtesy of Art of Escapism.